It's Tuesday, June 28th, and you're listening to a special two-part episode of Delicious Talk. This is the third installment of our groundbreaking series on race. In part one, we talked to our friend Cheryl Thompson in Arizona about her interesting experiences with race. And in part two, the Delicious Talk hosts continue a discussion about race, but as you'll see, things don't end very well. So please listen in and chime in with your thoughts. We'd love to hear what you think. So let's begin with part one. So this is the third installment of our race series, our series on racism. And tonight we're happy to welcome a guest panelist, my good buddy Cheryl from Arizona. Thank you for joining us, Cheryl.
Welcome. Yes, you all. Yes, thank you very much. I've been looking forward to this for a while now.
Yeah, we've been looking forward to it too. So we want to just get right into it and begin by asking you when you first discovered that racism existed and what your earliest experience of it was.
Well, as I said, I was born in 1960. So I was born as the civil rights movement was beginning. And by the age of five, I knew all the racial slurs you can think of for every type of ethnicity. Italians, blacks, Chinese, because I came from a very bigoted family. And I think my mother, she was more bigoted, my biological mother, than my father's family, but it was still in my father's family. But at the age of five, I lived in a town named Oceanside, and it's mostly Jews, or Jewish community. And I mean, it was the land of 13 synagogues with three churches. But my first experience with it was with a person who was Italian, and her father was involved in the mafia. And she happened to be in my kindergarten class, and my mother didn't like me going over there and seeing her, but we were friends, and my father said, no, I'm not going to upset him because he's mafia. And I had an argument with her one day, and I called her a guinea.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know what it meant. I just knew, you know, Italians were guineas, you know. And, of course, Dad, you're
all... What does it mean? Because I'm not familiar with that
term. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, educate us.
A guinea is just, you know, slang for an Italian, kind of like when you call Chinese people or Oriental people gooks.
I'm not familiar with that one either.
You didn't know that one? Polish people. This is the land. Well, of
it's
New
the
York,
same
honey.
Way. Yeah, it's the same way as calling, you know, Polish Spanish people spics, or
right.
You know, Mexicans, black people,
wetbacks, something like that.
Yeah, wetbacks. It's derogatory.
Right.
I understand it's derogatory. I guess what I'm trying to determine is what exactly does it mean and where did it come from? You know what I mean? Like,
well, they're like Italian guinea. You know, you're a guinea pig. You're
okay.
You're, type of thing. So yeah, I knew all the racial slurs and everything, and I didn't know what it meant. I just, you know, called her a guinea, and your father was mafia, and And of course, her father came down and talked to my father, and my mother was just all upset and all that jazz. But we ended up moving, but we still remained friends for quite a while. I was in the same school, and we were fine. But as I grew older, and I was told I wasn't supposed to use these languages, I became aware that we were treated differently too, because my father was poor. My father worked a bunch of jobs, and my mother was a thief. So we ended up like moving a great deal, because my mother would take my father's paycheck and spend it on really, really nice things and not pay the rent.
Wow.
Or electric or stuff. So at the same time, we're growing up as white trash, and my mother is doing this stuff, and my father's killing himself to keep everything together, and they're still putting out babies as well. So I moved to various places on Long Island, and some of my best friends were black or Hispanic. My father would kill me if I ever brought home a boyfriend that was like that, but... This is what I became, and I'd hear my father.
So, question, Monica.
Cheryl.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Monica's on my mind. Cheryl, I'm so sorry.
I answer to other words, too, but.
Well, I won't use those words, but
okay. I don't care.
You mentioned that you also had Black friends during this time, but your father would have freaked out if you brought home a Black boy. So it was a lot, as time progressed, it became acceptable for you to have a Black friend, but bringing home a Black boyfriend was where he drew the line? Or were these friends in secrecy?
Actually, I never brought anyone home to my house because, again, my mother, if she wasn't in jail, she was home. Mm-hmm. And she was extremely racist. And it was more, my playtime, because I had to take care of younger brothers and sisters, was mm-hmm. more at school. Mm-hmm. So I made these friends at school.
Okay. And so your parents knew nothing of them?
They knew I had friends and whatnot, and
But friends of Black friends and Hispanic friends?
My father knew. My father knew a couple of Black friends I had, mm-hmm. Especially when I was in middle school, junior high school, mm-hmm. and high school, because the community I was in was like 80% Black. In Southside High School, and in fact, a story. My one sister, I'm estranged from her. She's 2 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And we were in school, and I believe I was in ninth grade getting ready to go into high school. And she's in seventh grade. And we're in the cafeteria at the same time. And I'm with all my Black girlfriends. And another Black girl put her hand on my sister's arm to ask her something. And she had a white sweater on. And she looked at her and said, "Get your Black hands off my white sweater."
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, she didn't.
She did. And believe me, there was no love lost between my sister and I because she was a nasty, cruel person. And I laughed my butt off when they took her head and banged it down on the table.
Oh, no.
And she lost the two front teeth.
Well, I have a question. Well,
yeah, I don't.
Cheryl, I'm wondering, how does it work that you were living in a predominantly Black area or whatever, you're going to a predominantly Black school, and your parents were so racist?
Yeah. That was my next question. Is it the color of your skin, is on the lower or the lesser part of the totem pole compared to being white and poor?
By that time, my father was supporting all of us on our own, because at one time we were put in foster care, because mm-hmm. my mother was eventually so good at stealing. She was charged with embezzlement and fraud, forgery from very prominent New York lawyers. Mm. She was a secretary from them. And she ended up in Bedford Hills Penitentiary in New York and for a number of years. And my father would have to rent. And he would have to rent from people in certain areas. And, I mean, we lived in a white or a Jewish part of town, but I had to go to a certain school. And it was my...
So pretty much you took on the mother role in your household. And I'm trying to put the pieces together. When you're the oldest and the two individuals, your parents, who had the most influence on you, mm-hmm. I guess I'm trying to figure out, why...
My father.
Okay, your father, but you... Yeah, exactly. And you said that your father was a bigot. So for someone... So why are you different? What is it that made you treat Black people, or any race for that matter, differently?
Because when I was young and I realized what we were...
When you say what we were, what does that mean?
We were white trash, basically. My father... I saw my mother stealing. I saw my mother having affairs. I saw a lot of really nasty things as a child. Mm-hmm. And I could write a book about it, but it would probably hurt way too many people. Mm-hmm. So what I saw when my father would say, that nigger, I would correct my father. Mm-hmm. And I'd tell him, no, don't say that. We're white trash. I'm sorry, Dad.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
okay.
Dad. But,
so pretty much. And And how old were you when you started correcting your father, or when you made this connection that, hey, this isn't right?
I was like 10 when I started doing this. And I mean, I would even yell at him because he was a smoker and a drinker and he's a functioning alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd look at him and, oh, great, we're getting pulled over by the cops again because he's drinking.
So the main reason, what I'm pulling away is the main reason that you seem to have taken a different perspective is because you didn't necessarily see yourself as superior. You thought you guys were white trash.
I wasn't, but I also didn't have an escape as far as, like, you know, most kids, they come home, they do their homework, they go out and play. I had to take care of a family. So my playtime was school. You know, so I had to make friends and I had to be accepted. And, you know, I didn't need, you know, like I had to have best friends or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I needed some type of way to just, you know, blow off steam and be a kid.
So basically you grew up quick. You basically grew up quick and basically you this is my perception of what you're saying. I kind of sat back and tried to figure out how we got to this. Basically, what you're saying is with you having to grow up quick and you having to be around people who you can see, you said you were white trash and basically people around you were poor or just of other ethnicities, you figured them as your equal. So basically with you being more responsible, that's how you were on the pretty much straight and narrow. You grew up earlier and you had to live with these people and get ahead. So why not just get along with them?
That's what I did. And
that's how I looked at it.
I don't see people, you know, as color or, you know, I mean, I just look at people, you know, all right, I might notice your sex when I look at you. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have anything to prove. Right. You know, I know where I came from. I know what I am. I like myself. And, you know, I still have a lot of Hispanic friends, Black friends, all types of ethnicities.
Yeah. I'm always curious. You know, I'm always curious when I hear white people say, hey, I have Black friends. I have Hispanic friends. Mm-hmm. Are these like friends that you truly hang out with? Are these friends that you go to their house on a whim?
Do
you just go to shoot the breeze any old time? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, I live in Arizona. This is the land of Mexicans. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She came all the way to Orlando to meet me.
Okay.
Yes, wow. I did. And I knew you were Black, but yes. I wasn't sure. I always knew. I was kind of curious that I was hesitant about asking you.
So, that's, you know, I'm glad you brought that up.
In fact,
why not ask that? Why didn't you ask that of Nadine prior to going to Orlando?
She acts like the whitest girl I've ever been around.
This from a white person. This is terrible.
I read The Great Pretender, and she's got Barry Manilow on the stereo. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That was
Cheryl, why would you not ask?
I didn't think to her.
I am talking to Cheryl, Anika. When we interview you, I will respond and ask you questions. Hello, Cheryl.
I did ask her eventually. You know, and
But how long? I mean, what was it that prevented you from asking? Was it a fear that you would offend her? You know, what was it? How long? Because you guys have been friends since, what is it,
2002, I think. Yeah,
I think I asked her within a year or so because I became a moderator then.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right, Nadine?
Yeah, and I think when the whole book thing started happening, I think that's when you probably really became aware, when I started having problems with the book. But anyway, we're getting off track.
American
style. No, it's not a matter of getting off track. I'm trying to pinpoint, like, if you and I are cool and we're talking and we're having different interactions and we're building, because what you were doing is building intimacy. So because you felt comfortable enough to go and see her, so I'm wondering, you know, I'd have been like, oh, where are you from? What do you do? Something just to satisfy my own curiosity.
And you know what, Shelley? I'd probably would ask her, well, does it matter?
You're not asking from a place of, you know, of racism or negativity.
It's your own curiosity. The other person receiving it might not perceive it as
No, because when there's truly friendship there and intimacy that these two women have built, it shouldn't be that way.
And I don't personally think I would ever ask someone what their race is. Yeah. I mean, I think if, because it doesn't matter. I mean, I might be curious, but I will wait until I see them or wait. I'm not going
to But that's
ask.
What I'm saying. Why exactly. Why are we afraid to ask? What
because we
it?
Shouldn't want to.
Yeah, what
I
does
mean,
it matter?
Why
no,
do we that's like ask? Asking you, no. That's like me asking you, what do you do for a living? How is that different from me asking
oh,
you where
you're
from?
Oh, I think it's very different.
Are you
very.
Fat or skinny?
No. Oh, yeah.
I had a gastric
with that?
Bypass.
What is wrong with that?
Why do we, why does that matter so much for you
yeah,
to ask
I
him
do,
somebody?
I don't like
no, no,
that
no, no,
question.
No. And you don't have to. You don't have to. This is a forum we're having. People are curious. The fact is, if you thought you mentioned you were curious,
you're getting riled up, Molly. That's not what I'm saying to you. I'm just saying to you.
Anika,
I'm not
let
saying.
Me finish my statement because once again, I was not referring to you. I was speaking to
I
Cheryl.
Understand
if
that,
curiosity,
but
if curiosity,
I'm
just, if curiosity enters your mind about someone's you. Race or I'm, sex or whatever or their job, and you guys are friends, why not ask? Because you're curious
but that's
about
not
it.
Just what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying that I don't like, I'm just saying for me, I would be offended if someone asked me that question. What does it matter? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm...
Anika, so if I asked you, hey, Anika, where do you work? Will you be offended?
That's different.
How is it different? It is the importance, it's what you're thinking behind that line of questioning. It's not the question that I'm asking you. It's what you
like,
truly think about the question that I'm asking you. Because it could be a very innocent question. Hey, where are you from?
It's just like sending a text message. I can say, hey, what's up? Or say it a different way. And it's how you perceive it. So that's what I'm trying to tell you, that some people
Anika,
might be
Anika,
offended.
A lot of people
Anika.
Do perceive things differently, yes.
Exactly. Okay, so once again, I'm going to tell you, I was referring to Cheryl, and I realized the friendship that she and Nadine have.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore,
I
I'm curious
to
if
Cheryl.
Nadine
I'm
and I have been friends.
My point of view on that. That's all
so
I'm saying.
Once again, I still haven't heard Cheryl's response, yet me and you are arguing.
I was never afraid to ask Nadine about it. It only came about when I volunteered to be a co-moderator. Mm-hmm. And I did. I just frankly asked her if she was Black.
Yeah.
You know, there was something in a note, and I asked her when I was part of the staff. And she wasn't upset, and I wasn't ashamed to ask.
Yeah.
You know, it was
fine. What is
there
fine. To be upset?
It,
I don't
what
know.
Cracked
I don't
me
remember
up.
You asking me. I mean,
yeah,
not
I
that
did.
It matters, but
not that
there
it mattered,
was never
but...
an issue with it. But I remember that, it, like I said, I was sharing something about what was going on with my writing, and that's when you said, you know, I wondered because your Millennia sounds like an exotic name. You said, I remember you saying something like that.
That was exotic, and that was from your car,
right? And,
right.
But
and
I don't
you,
remember
you
like
black.
You saying, "Hey, are you Black?" You know, hey,
I just
that.
Asked. You know,
I mean, I think it depends on where, what, how you're in what context and how you're doing, like in that situation. But like, let's say you're calling to rent an apartment, and I say to you, "Shelly,
oh
are you Caucasian
oh my gosh.
Or Black?"
Oh my gosh! Did I not just preface that whole line of questioning that you guys are friends? Therefore, but, why not ask? When you call an apartment building, you don't know these people from Adam. So, of course, if they're asking you your race, yeah, you'll be like, okay, that's not important. My money is green. That's what matters.
Well, you know, I mean, it's from email and everything. And before we, you know, like put pictures up in the Cove and put mm-hmm. pictures on Facebook. So we never saw each other or anything. In fact, I never saw Millennia until, or Nadine, until I did go to Disney. And mm-hmm. it really didn't faze me in the least. You know, I got along with everyone. In fact, Nadine watched me a lot. I chat with everybody. I don't care who it is.
And Roberta came too. You and Roberta.
Yeah, Roberta was there. And I mean, I just get along with strangers too. It's kind of weird. I'm really bizarre. But, you know.
She's not bizarre. She's just a
yeah,
people
but
person.
You're,
I'm just myself.
A friendly person. I'm, it's okay. That's
but,
nothing
yeah,
bizarre
but,
about it.
I'm not even friendly. Sometimes I can be a real bitch. But.
That's true too. But, you know.
Yeah.
In
but
general.
I mean, writing back and forth. I mean, it's not like you have attitude when you're writing.
Right. But I wanted to get back on track a little. I want to ask you this.
Yes.
I want you as a white chick to give us the dish on how white people really talk about non-white people when they don't think any of them are around amongst themselves.
You know, I mean, they are nasty. they are really nasty.
Now, is that some or all? Are there some who would say, "Hey, guys, don't talk like that. That's not right."
Well, you know, my aunts, mostly my uncles and my father would do that, and I would tell them, you know, I don't want to hear it.
Do what?
I don't want to hear them, you know, talking trash about this guy because he's black. You know, he's the same type of person that you are. He's just hard at work.
I know, but I'm just trying to get at what kind of trash would they say? What would specifically?
Oh, just, you know, they're filthy. They're this, they're that, you know, like chinks, you know, they eat dogs and this and that, all these stereotypical things, which used to irritate the crap out of me, you know, like blacks smell funny. Well, maybe it's because of the gel in the hair. I don't know. But, you know, I never thought of it as, you know, like that. I'm like, geez, Dad, you know, I mean.
Why are you laughing, Shelly? Do you smell funny?
I'm laughing. No, I'm laughing.
Gel in your hair. Hey, I got gel in my hair.
Do you put gel in your hair, Shirley?
Shorter than yours, too. But, you know, I mean, I listen to everything. I listen to people. I enjoy people. I people watch. You see people, like, with dregs, and you think, oh, my God, that's a cave person, you know? And, no, they're not. They just like dregs, you know? But then you look at the fact that in fourth grade, I'm still in this Jewish town. And I'm sent home to find out what my ethnicity is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was my next question.
My mother was full German and her parents were off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more than half German.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm English, Irish, American Indian, Scottish. And what really, really upset me is I went back to school the next day and everybody said they were Jewish. And I'm like, okay, I'm German, mostly.
That went over well.
And I had no clue about the Holocaust. Oh, I had no clue. Right. We're talking fourth grade. I'm 9 years old. I haven't gotten that far in school yet.
Right.
And I was stoned. I was beaten. I was spit on. I was beat up so terribly. My father had to take me to the hospital to get me all x-rayed and checked and everything and stitches and whatnot.
I don't mean to cut you off, but that kind of sounds like why you might have been more susceptible to seeing everyone as equal, because you had experienced that kind of discrimination.
Exactly.
That could be too. Yeah, I was nine.
Mm-hmm.
But that really, really just, I didn't understand it at all. You know, I don't look at race. I don't look at, you know, people being a different color or being a different class or something like that. I've never done that.
Well, Cheryl, thank you. Thank you for being so honest. And, you know, we don't get this opportunity very often. So it was nice to hear
from your
point of view.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly. I mean, I just live on a star, a shining star. It's Earth. That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah. And that's the way it always should be. And unfortunately, it's not. And I think it does have to do with ethnicity, but it also has to do with religion.
I also think religion screws a lot of things up.
I honestly believe that there would be no war if it wasn't for religion.
So do I.
Yeah,
but that's another show.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, for coming on with us and sharing your experience with race. And we hope that, you know, this series will open the discourse and, you know, help people to become more aware of their views of race.
Yeah, I loved listening to you guys the first episode, and then with Monica,
mm-hmm.
and she was so naive to it.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, you know, but if you come from a different place, you know, you can be very naive and not aware of things that are going on, you know, in the next town or something like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go.
Okay.
So,
all right, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you,
a great
Shelly
evening.
And Anika, it was very lovely talking to you. And I hope we can play again soon.
Oh, would like that.
Yeah, I would too. Thanks, Nadine. I'll respond to you a little later, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And now for part two. And remember, please leave us your comments. We really want to know what you think. So I'm Nadine.
I'm Anika.
And this is Shelley.
And welcome to the third installment of our groundbreaking race series. We're going to jump right in tonight, talking based on Ellen Pompeo's, the actress from Grey's Anatomy. She was on The View a few weeks back, and she made some comments of addressing race in America at this point in time, and we want to kind of talk about that and share our views. I'm going to put a link in the podcast to the clip from her appearance. And basically, for me to get it started, she just said she was basically, the point that I most agreed with was when she said that we need to get to a place where we don't need black colleges and white colleges or NAACP image awards versus, you know, other awards where we have a people awards and a people's college. And, you know, we need to get to it. And Sherry Shepherd was saying, but we still need those things. And she's saying, yeah, but we need to get to a point where we don't. And I really thought that was very powerful. And I wish more people saw, you know, the reality of that so we could work towards it more instead of pound, you know, beating the drum of how we still need these separate and unequal things. What do you guys think?
I agree with you.
Okay. Well, I need to expand on this topic.
Yes, please do.
Okay.
Please
now,
do.
In an ideal world, mm-hmm. that would be great. I would love to see people looking at each other as people versus color or race, okay? But the reality of it is that most people, well, we're not all there yet. We're not all there. And I tend to agree with Sherry Shepherd that we still need those things. And Nadine and I, you know, we always kick off on this topic. I think that we still need the Black Image Awards. We still need that because, like it or not, our young Black kids, they don't identify with the Caucasian successful people. I remember you and I had a conversation once, Nadine, where on the cover of, what was it? Which magazine was that? Where they're talking about the up-and-coming young Hollywood.
Vanity
Do you remember
Fair,
that?
Vanity Fair
magazine. Mm-hmm. And you were so pissed. Mm-hmm. You were so pissed off because every last one of those people on that magazine was Lily White.
Yep.
Okay? Now, as a young Black child and you have aspirations of being an actor and you mm-hmm. see this, you're not encouraged to move on because you can't identify with those people. You don't identify. And I told you the story about my coworker who has a son in California that's a teacher. Mm-hmm. And when Obama won that election, he said his classroom, the environment was so different because his Black students now felt like this could be me. This could be me. It's possible. This is possible. I can be an actor. I can be the president. I can be anything I want to. Okay? But white people aren't promoting Black people that way. So if we're not going to promote ourselves, who is going to promote us? Who is going to promote us? That's how I look at it. It has to start somewhere.
But do you think that we would be offended if they had a White Image Awards? Would we cry racist?
Really, Anika, it is what it is without the title. That's really.
You mean like the what do you call it? The Emmy Awards or the
Oscars. That's
Oscars,
what it is without the title. And that's how, let me tell you, we've become so accepting, and because it's been around for so long, that you don't really know any different. So now when all of these, you know, the younger generation or the new thinkers are thinking like, okay, how come mm-hmm. there are no, you know, how come there are not that many Black Oscar winners? Come on, think about it. Why isn't it? We have watched. I tend to agree with you on that, but I still think that in today's society, we need the image, the Black Image Awards. We need those things just to uplift our own race, because like it or not, slavery has impacted our race in a way where we're still, some of us are still trying to put the pieces together, because what our ancestors learned, they have passed down. And not all Black people are at a point where they could look at themselves and say, you know what, I am worth it. In the back of your mind, you're still feeling unequal, inferior. A lot of Black people are still feeling that. So without these different, you know, award shows or music award shows, or even, what's the other one, the Image Award that covered sports as well, right?
Grammys,
all of those. It's like, we still need those. We still need those. We talk about Essence magazine, and this drives Nadine crazy. Why do we have a Black magazine? Why are we only catering to Black people?
Because they have magazines like Vanity Fair and Vogue, exactly, that they said they won't put a Black woman on.
But not just that. These magazines don't address Black beauty. How to take care of your hair, how to take care of your skin. Those white magazines don't do that.
Because they can't relate. That's the problem.
Exactly. So would I love to see we all get together and sing Kumbaya? Hell yes. Mm. Because I have children and I want them to be accepting. I want them to just see people. Right. That's what I want them to see. And that is what I'm trying to teach them. And will they encounter different obstacles where people are going to treat them, you know, a certain way because of their skin color? Maybe. And they will have to deal with that.
But well, I see my daughter going through the same thing because she goes to school. She's the minority. She has a chocolate color.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can just tell certain things. It's like she, you know, she just wonders sometimes how come she wasn't lighter skin. And I always wonder, is it something that I say? Do I, you know, mm-hmm. what am I saying that she's, you know, what can I do to promote her to love the skin that she's in? And to, I don't know what else to do as a parent. I mean, I don't promote anything else. I mean, but it's just the luck of the draw. And I think that, not the luck of the draw, let me rescind that comment, but it's just, I mean, I don't know what else to say as a parent.
I think what happens is when the kids start going to school, especially around 8, 9, you start looking at how other children are being treated. And Nadine, this is an attestation to what you experienced when you were in elementary school, mm-hmm. when you realized that I'm different. That is still happening. That is still happening.
But even with the little boys in the school, they don't want to go out with the darker skinned girl. They want to go out with the lighter skin, with the the longer hair. That's what's attractive to them. Or even that they want the skinnier girls. Or even I've even noticed it even at our school that even some of the little Black boys, they prefer to date the Caucasian girls because that's there's nothing wrong with it. Please, Delicious Talk, don't think that my views are. I'm not. But I'm just saying that's what I'm seeing. They don't want date a darker skinned girl because they don't find that attractive.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It is.
Well, I think, you know, as a little girl, what has made my entire life on the subject of race a big, huge challenge is the fact that I never identified myself with my skin color. And the world that I was born into that had this skin color and people who didn't have this skin color did identify me with it. And that has been my problem. I know my skin has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
So I cannot endorse or co-sign thinking and logic and behavior that has at the root identification with your skin, because I can see that is the root of the problem. If you can stop seeing yourself as your skin and identifying yourself as a Black person and then justify it by saying, well, when you go out into the world, that's how they see you and that's how they're going to treat you. The main thing is that you don't need to identify yourself with your skin. No matter how a white person might discriminate against a black person because they're black, I think you are empowered when you do not buy into this idea that, oh, because I'm black, there's something wrong, and that's why they're discriminating against me and treating me as less than. And that's why I am less than. I think that's the problem, when we actually believe it. So to get to proactive, where children are concerned, those children, yes, when they see that Vanity Fair cover, or those young and up-and-coming actresses, when they see that Vanity Fair cover, they shouldn't be discouraged. If they're not identified with their skin color, then they see those other young actresses, and they should just see other actresses and not white actresses.
Nadine, I understand where you're coming from. The fact is, you're not in their home. You're not raising these kids. It is great for us to sit here on this platform and tell everybody how it should be. But let's really talk about what it is. This is what it is.
Yes, people, but black, Ellen Pompeo.
Nadine, hold on a second. Ellen Pompeo, with all due respect, is sitting in white Hollywood making her check. Yes, she has a black husband and a half black baby, and I know where she's coming from. I understand it, and I agree with it. But the reality of it is this. Most black kids are not seeing that. First of all, most black kids are stuck in a neighborhood going to a specific school, and that school has limited resources because it is in a black neighborhood. This problem goes way beyond all of this Oscar and Vanity Fair. They are a product of their environment. So it's hard for you to tell them what they should be doing when they're in an environment of, this is how it is, this is my life. And until they're exposed to something different firsthand, that's not going to change. And even when they are exposed, it is going to take a while for their way of thinking to change. That's what it is. You know, I would love, I'm sitting here, I have children. I would love for my girls to be in a world where, oh my gosh, you know, we are all people, and I'm going to help you because you are another human being. I'm going to treat you with that respect. I'm not seeing the color of your skin.
Well, what my question to you and the Sherry Shepherds and the people with that, who think from that basis, my question mm-hmm. to you would be, what exactly is it that you see forwarding change from the way it is?
Okay, so let me put this back on you.
No, don't ask me another question. Give me the answer to that.
No, no, because I'm going to give you an answer. But I want you to think about this as well. Because you seem to think that, you know, yes, let your actions speak. You know, this is how
I'm going to analyze what I think. No. Why don't you just answer the question? About?
I am going to answer your question, so just be quiet.
No, but you want to sit here and take issue with the question instead of just answering it.
First of all, I'm not taking issue with your question. I blatantly said I agree with you. In a perfect world, that's how it should be, but we're not living in a perfect world. So I need you to just take the emotions out and just relax. There's no need to get defensive.
I'm not defensive. I'm asking if we rewind this and you hear how you began to address my question,
Nadine,
then you will see what are you saying?
Chill.
Don't tell me to chill. Just why can't you answer the question instead of treating Nadine, me like I'm being overly emotional?
How shall I answer the question when you're still talking? When you're still talking, tell me that.
Because when you have a chance to answer it, you're not. You still ain't answering it.
And you're still talking.
You know what I've realized with this?
You have to tell you that you're not answering the question.
This race theory is heated.
Nadine, you have an issue with this.
So you have an issue with this.
And you need to just fall back.
Fall back. That's why we're always arguing about it.
Relax.
I'm relaxing. I wish you would answer the question.
No.
You know, this race is hot. Nadine, this topic is hot.
Seriously, I do have better things to do with my time, like hang out with my two little babies. And if I'm not going to be able to say something right now because you keep talking, this is a very sensitive topic with you.
It is.
And you need to realize that and just chill.
I'm going to say what I think. And I think you were too busy analyzing my question instead of answering the question. So, listeners, that was where we stopped recording with the three of us. And it's just Anika and I right now wrapping the race series episode, this 19th episode up and putting a cap on it. The discussion didn't end well. And as you can see, Shelley is not with us. And all I want to say is I'm sorry that we weren't able to demonstrate that people can actually have a discussion about race that is progressive. And I think, you know, that's the main theme that I had, you know, in the disagreement, was trying to make some progress in the discussion that I didn't feel ever gets made when we have the discussion. We always seem to stick right there, and that happened again, as you just heard. But we're not going to stop. We are going to continue the race series, right, Nico?
We sure are. And I think that it just goes to show you that it's still, the wounds are still open.
Yeah.
It's still a very, very sensitive topic. And it doesn't necessarily mean white or black. It just other forms of racism, that it may be something that really, really gets to you. You know, and it causes a rift. It causes, you know, friction. And we just have to keep pushing.
And we will, because I believe it's doable. And I just want to say, for the record, as you mentioned, it's a very sensitive topic. And of course, I'm very passionate and sensitive to certain aspects of it. But I'm still able to discuss it and argue it without becoming illogical.
Right.
And without especially becoming insolent and condescending to the people that I'm talking to.
Right.
And trying to belittle their time. You know, straying from the topic to just insult people so that I win the argument that way.
Right.
And in order for us to have a progressive dialogue, we need to be able to have an adult conversation.
Right.
And keep the disagreement and the argument on the merits of the argument, and not stray off to try to win the argument by, you know, becoming rude and belittling the people you're talking to and their time, as though your time is more important than their time. And that's really high schoolish mentality. And I think those are the things that hinder the dialogue from being more progressive.
Right.
And that's all I want to say for the record. So we still invite our listeners to comment and share your thoughts and let us know what you think about this episode, because I think it does two things. It shows that, you know, we can and can't. It's still a challenge, but, you know, we can do it. And by continuing the race series, we're going to show and demonstrate that we can.
And we're human. It also shows that delicious talk, we don't censor. We bring it to you straight, we bring it to you raw. We're going to have some listeners who do not agree with what we discuss. We're going to have some that love what we discuss week to week. You know, you're not going to always like us every week, but we respect your opinion. We value what you have to say, good or bad. And that's just how it is. That's just expressing yourself and listening. And we hope that, you know, we bring you some kind of comfort and joy in your listening experience when you come to then listen to our show.
Yes. So come back next week, and we will, as I said before, we will continue the race series at Delicious Talk.
Yes, yes.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.